The story of John the Baptist in the prologue of John is something of an anomaly. That is, to take the John stuff out of it as if it were a separate literary unit is not accurate. So I would recommend that you tell the whole of the prologue, but introduce it as, friends, I'm going to tell you the whole of the prologue to the Gospel of John. But pay attention to the sections about John the Baptist, and I will call attention to them as I tell it so that you can hear those within the context of the whole of the prologue. It is quite likely that the prologue was originally a hymn to which one of the storytellers who shaped the prologue added these John the Baptist sections, both 6 through 8 and 19 through 20. And that the reason for that has generally been seen as, on the one hand, introducing John the Baptist, but making it clear that he was subordinate to Jesus. My own conclusion is somewhat different than that. That is, I think it is in order to give prominence to John the Baptist and to include the John the Baptist movement and the John the Baptist tradition in the story of Jesus, but to make clear what John's role was in relation to Jesus as the Messiah, but to include the stories of John the Baptist in the salvation history that is being described in the Gospel of John is to honor John the Baptist and to give him a major and significant role. And that it is quite likely that this was also in order to include the John the Baptist community in the community of those who are addressed by the gospel. Now that is seen most clearly in the other story about John the Baptist in the Gospel of John, which is in chapter 3, 25 to 35, in which John the Baptist's disciples come and tell him, you know, Jesus is baptizing, and everybody is going to him. But instead of being troubled by that, John's response is then to affirm that and put himself in the role of the friend of the bridegroom. But when the bridegroom comes, the friend supports and steps aside. The reason why this is of such importance in relation to understanding the relationship between Jesus and John the Baptist is that John does have John the Baptist address the audience directly. That is, in chapter 3, John the Baptist addresses the audience of the Gospel of John as his disciples. So the audience, then, the same group that has just listened to and been addressed as Nicodemus and as the Pharisees, is then addressed as John the Baptist's disciples. Now, the implication of that is that John, the storyteller, was including in his audience any participants in the John the Baptist community who were present. That is, that he was addressing in the formation of the gospel ecumenical Judaism in the first century, and was including in his audience all of the various elements of the Jewish community of the late first century. So this is an inclusive thing. This is a way of drawing them together. What is happening then in the formation of the prologue and the inclusion of these sections of John the Baptist is an honoring of John. It is an inclusion of John. It is also the fulfillment of the prophecies. And therefore, John's presence in the story also contributes to the credibility of believing in Jesus as the Messiah. Now, what is the story's impact? Well, the expectation of Jews in the first century was that the Messiah would be preceded by a herald, a prophet who would prepare his way. This is clearly prophesied in Malachi 4:5, Also, in the third chapter of Malachi, there are the words that become part of Handel's Messiah. You know, he is like a divining fire. So there are various, you know, quotations of Malachi. Elijah is identified as the one who will precede the Messiah. That is, that Elijah will come back. And it is also in Malachi that there will be a messenger who will precede the Messiah. John testified concerning him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, the one who comes after me ranks before me, for he was before me." What that means is, in the context, is that John the Baptist recognized the pre-existence of Jesus as the Logos, as the Word of God, and is affirming that. That is, that he ranks ahead of him, even though he was younger and came after him. He ranks ahead of him because he was before him. That is, he existed before John the Baptist. So the beginning of the prologue, he was in the beginning with God, that he was present from the beginning of creation, is then the affirmation of the prologue. And John the Baptist is then affirming that. And his announcement of Jesus' greatness is in conformity with this picture of Jesus as the Logos having been present from the beginning of time. Perhaps the most striking thing about this story is John's self-subordination to Jesus. And this also happens in the later story in chapter 1 about his sending his disciples after Jesus. So Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, is one of those disciples of John who followed Jesus on that first day. And John the Baptist says, "Look, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And two of his disciples then go and follow Jesus and stay with him all day. Andrew was one of those. And Andrew went and told his brother, Simon Peter, and brought him to Jesus and so on. Well, what is present here in this characterization of John the Baptist is really remarkable. The remarkable spirituality of John the Baptist as one who in true humility subordinates himself to the one who is coming after him, to the Messiah, and affirms Jesus' role as the one who has come to save the world. But it's also an affirmation of his own role as the predecessor, as the herald, as the one who prepared his way. So in the interpretation of John the Baptist, what I would suggest is that you focus on his character and what a remarkable person he was, but also on what this means about Jesus, that he, as a follower of John the Baptist, quite likely, is one who was regarded by John as having more authority and power than he did, and that he's happy about that. So this portrayal of John the Baptist in John is at the core of this prologue, which in turn introduces the stories about John the Baptist that follow. It's a magnificent section of the story, and it fits with the major theme of Advent, which is waiting for and looking for the coming of the Messiah, of the birth of Jesus. And this is John's version of that spirit of waiting and looking forward to the coming of the Messiah.